You may be seated. Give him some praise. Give him some praise. He's worthy to be praised. Surrendering to shame. 3 John 1, 2. Surrendering to shame. I am with confidence this morning that if there's one thing we all share, we all have in common, and that is something has happened in your life that embarrassed you.
Amen.
Something in your life happened. It embarrassed you. You were ashamed of it. And you thought your world was over. Like that time you told your parents that lie and you thought that they'll let you slide. Instead, perhaps what your parents did, being great parents, is that they told you they were going to beat you. I'm sorry, spank you. It's spanking now. On a frying pan and a board. And who did you tell? You told your aunt, you told your uncle, and then they said, "What'd you do? Come do it again." Then they beat you. Yeah. The neighbors got you on the way home. Then they called and they told, and your parents were waiting when you got home. They did. And then, yeah, they got good. They say, "You go choose a switch." And you ashamed. And if that didn't work, then maybe you were ashamed. Maybe you were embarrassed when you did something and your friends found out. Because it was at that time that they really stepped out of your life. I mean, you really thought that you had a good friendship until. Isn't it just like people to be there for you until? Until you need them. Until you need a shoulder to cry on. Until. People can be so fickle. So fair weather. I mean, you can have a wonderful friendship as long as you don't have needs. But the second that you have needs, they're all gone. Not only do they leave you, but they sometimes talk about you. And you're stuck asking yourself, "But aren't you the one that I took in? Aren't you the one that I allowed to use my car? Aren't you the one that I connected you so that you got the job? Wasn't that you? I mean, I can't remember. Maybe it wasn't you." Friends will step out on you in a minute. Not only will they step out on you, but they'll take the information that they know about you, as the kids say, and they'll put it on blast. Everybody knows your business. You thought you were sharing with a friend. You discover that that friend really wasn't a friend. They were someone who wanted to be you. Listen, you can never have a relationship with a person who wants to be you. You get that? You can never have a strong, healthy, solid relationship with someone that envies you. Because everything that they know of you, they try to pull it in and use it against you. See, a true friend will see you through when others think that you are through. A true friend doesn't mind standing in the shadow so you can shine. A true friend friend? Friends. How many of us have them? You know the song, right? You wasn't always at church, right? So we do things in life and we are ashamed of what happened. And because we are ashamed, we feel as though our life is over. What do you do when people find out your business? What do you do when what they're saying about you is true? What do you do when you discover what they are saying is what you told someone in confidence? What do you do when the information that they have is really true? So there you stand, you're ashamed. You're embarrassed, you're all alone, and you have no one to turn to. You see, quite often in life, God will put us in a position and he'll begin to strip people out of our lives. Because you do know that sometimes people are your worst haters, enemies. You know that sometimes the people that you think are friends are really haters. They're really stabbing you in your back. Okay, you don't know that. So let me tell you why sometimes things don't work out for you. It's because you're telling the wrong people your stuff. See, sometimes you have to shut up until God finishes a thing in your life. Sometimes you have to stand still to see the salvation of the Lord. Then when God finishes a thing, then you can testify to how good God is in your life. Where he brought you from. What he brought you through. And see, nobody but God brought me through that. Have you ever been in a place and God delivered you? God brought you out of something. And you came out. You are thieves, but you came out. Your credit was damaged, but you came out. You were divorced, but you came out. With cancer, but you came out. Because God is a delivering God. Now give him some credit. John, in chapter number 3, he really deals with the people in chapter number 2. In chapter number 2, he warns them and he says, if anybody come preaching to you that Jesus Christ does not exist, they are the Antichrist. Now watch this. I want you to really get this. Sometimes people won't tell you that Jesus was never born. They'll tell you he was born and tell you his life story. But that doesn't mean that they are a child of God. Just because they know doesn't mean that they are worshiping God. You remember when Jesus was standing and he was looking over and Satan began to tell him wonderful scriptures? See, the devil knows the scripture. That's why you can get through sometimes if you're not in the spirit. You begin to go through something and somebody whispers something in your ear and you can't discern the truth. It sounds good. It must be good. Let me come to your door. That's why when he tells you, baby, you look good, pay this bill, and you're so insecure and you do it. That's what I'm talking about right now. Spirit in order to discern. If you don't discern anything, anything sounds good to you. And so there you are, sanctified, saved, filled with the Spirit of God. And then anything someone says, it shifts you. It moves you because you don't know who you are. So what they say about you now matters because you're not sure if you're not that. And since they are your friend, maybe they know you best. And so they wouldn't lie to you, and they tell you you can't do that. God told you you can. You begin to listen to what they say instead of what God is saying to you. So John says, if they come and they tell you Jesus doesn't exist, it's the Antichrist. See, what he's really saying is that if they come to you, and it's not about his birth, whether or not he exists, it's his power. So when you begin, helping you, when you begin to go through something, if you don't call upon the name of Jesus, you have no power to get through it. And so you go through something wishing upon a star. You go through something hoping that it turns out a particular way. But when you know Christ and Christ know you, when you go through something, you begin to decree and declare a word. When you're going through something, you begin to speak with authority over something and say, cancer, you are alive. Brokenness, you are alive. Bounce check, you are alive. Sickness, you are alive. My child going to jail, you are alive. The devil is alive because God said. So John writes this letter. He writes the letter to Gaius. And when he writes the letter to him, it's kind of a father-child relationship. You know, a letter that you would write to your child that is in basic training or just getting to college. And you just want to write a letter just to let them know, I believe in you. See, because sometimes people can be beat up so much, they're not sure if anybody believes in them. And in the midst of going through something, if you have doubt about the world, you need to be absolutely certain that mom and dad and sister and brother and your church believe in you. You need to be absolutely certain that in the midst of going through something, I understand a lot of people won't see my dream, won't see my vision, but I know my household see it. See, because when you begin to go through something, it gets pretty dark sometimes. But you got to understand, if God gave you a vision, if God gave you something to hold on to, you don't need somebody to co-sign on your dream. It doesn't require prayer. It requires grace. It doesn't require money. It requires His grace. John writes a letter. John says, beloved, I wish above all things. He said, this is my desire for you. This is what I want for you. And it's horrible to be in a relationship when you want more for the person than the person wants for themselves. Have you ever had somebody that was just using you and soaking you up and keeping you down, and you want the best for them and they can't see it, so they want to hold you down? Every now and then, you got to shake off some stuff and you got to let some people go in order for you to grow. You got to let some people go in order for you to grow. See, there are some people that is like leeches. A leech latches onto you and all they do is suck. Ain't good for nothing. That's some people in your life.
That's right.
And see, and the problem is, you think they're crazy. Because what they say and do
don't make sense.
And the truth of the matter is, they're not crazy. You're crazy. Because they still your friend. And you still get it. But you call them crazy. It's really the fool in lunch. Because it's working for them. Is it working for you? And if it's not working for you, why are you still in that relationship? Why are you still trying to hold on to something that is bad? You gotta know when to let go of something. You gotta know when to say, I love you, but I love me more. I care for you, but I care for me more. I'm going somewhere. That's all right. Don't hinder me. letter, he says, beloved, he says, I wish above all things that you would prosper. Prosper. And so point number one is that he moves into a place of integrity. Now, when you say that you want someone to prosper, people today, they... because what you're talking about is a prosperity ministry. Just church and money. And that's where our mind goes. But we miss our blessing trying to stop someone else. The one thing that I'm sure about with God is that God can bless you and bless me at the same time and all the blessings. God doesn't have to distribute anything, a piece here and a piece there. He can bless you so good. And I stand next to you. And because you're so blessed, you're living in a land of overflow. It flows over to me. I want to stand next to some overflow people today. I want to stand next to somebody today that God so much is just flowing over to me. He moves you to point number one, a place of integrity. Now, integrity has to do, and we shared this about Job, it's a mathematical term. It has to do with being whole. So prosperity, if you only see money, you miss it. See, I want God to bless me where the money is there and everything else is there. I don't just want a little piece of a blessing. I want it just to cover me. I want him to pour out his Shekinah glory, to pour out his blessings on me. And I can't even mess the thing up. Because every time I turn, he's blessing me and I'm being a blessing to someone else. When you understand the seed time and the harvest time, you really get it. So he says, I wish above all things that you would prosper. Now, prosper, the word prosper is kind of interesting. P-R-O means for something. Or it means expectation. Spur, S-P-E-R. Actually, the word originally was S-P-E-S. Prospice. Lot of it. You don't get it. And what it means is hope. So when he says prosper, he says you better expect hope. Amen. You better expect a blessing. You better stop coming to church just to go somewhere and expect to meet God. You better stop coming to church and expect to lead the same way. You better come expecting God to do a radical thing in your life. I'm looking for some radical folks in this church. I'm looking for somebody who has a radical faith. Somebody don't mind standing on their feet. I wish about 50 of y'all just standing on your feet this morning. And give God some praise this morning. Because God is prospering you. Hey, you're not where you want to be. But thank God you're not where you used to be 2 years from now. Somehow, God opened up the doors and the checks began to flow. And when the checks began to flow, they amazed you the number that was on the check. Baby, that's overflow. That's overflow. That's why you give him a praise. You give him a praise because not only is he blessing me, he's giving me some leftovers. Do you have any leftovers? Do you have any leftovers in your life? Now watch this now. Because you know a country, right? Sometimes the leftover is better. Says, I wish above all things that you would prosper. He deals with integrity. He says, I want you to be whole. I don't want you to be some kind of half jacked up Christian. I want you to be whole. So he says, I wish above all things that you would prosper. Integrity. And be in good health. So he moves from integrity to intimacy, into to me, I see it. Intimacy. And I found it strange that he kind of took health between two of the things. Because on your deathbed, whatever you have to sell or get rid of to live, you'll do that thing. But he placed prosperity before health. So he deals with the intimacy. And I know you young folks here, and your health is great. But not only does he deal with health from a perspective of what we think, he deals with it from two perspectives. From the perspective of appetite and abuse.
All right.
Let's talk about your weight. Y'all still here? See, because somebody told you that thick was beautiful. Somebody, I'm not knocking anything. I just want to help you. Because if you're overweight, you're increasing your chance of dying. Tell me what's sexy about that, baby. I'm just asking questions. See, when you sit down to eat and you eat pig feet and pig legs and I know you're going home and do that to make them know that. What I'm communicating to you is that that's not the plan that God had for his people. We need to go back to the Bible on everything. You can't eat cake at 12 o'clock at night and think you're going to be fine at 9 o'clock in the morning and be aware of that. Well, praise the Lord. No. Let's be real. Folk down at 40 years old because they're overweight, having a heart attack, and especially us African Americans. Don't let them play. So he refers to the appetite. And after the appetite, he refers to the abuse in your life. Because you can have the perfect weight. But if you have the perfect weight because you smoke cigarettes, then keep it there. Oh, don't you act like you don't smoke cigarettes. Don't you act like some of y'all still don't smoke weed. Quit it. Stop it. Stop it. Walk by somebody on Sunday morning. About life, because all of us at some junction in life find ourselves dealing with things and involved with things that we should not be involved with. You remember your little life when you needed a joint in order to relax or come out of addiction. You remember your life when you needed a drink in order to have the courage in the club to go talk to her. You remember your life when your boss get on your nerves. You need to take a break and go out and smoke like a chimney. You know your life. And a whole cake for this? Come on! So he says, I wish above all things that you're prospering and you're being good health. Even as your soul prospers. So he goes from integrity to intimacy. And now he deals with your soul. He deals with the image. Man is spirit, soul, and body. Your body is what you see. Your soul is your thought process. Your spirit is what communes with God. There's one third of you what you put in it,
come on.
It will not be filled.
Okay?
So God is saying, God is a spirit. So they that worship, you must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now the truth is the word of God. The spirit is when you jump outside of your body and you say, God, I'm a spirit like you. You created me in the book of Genesis. Now what do you want from me? What do you want to be manifested through the body in my thoughts? To you. But I find it strange that he didn't talk about, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in good health, even as your body or even as your spirit. He said soul. So in soul, he deals with the image. In other words, watch this in closing. He deals with your thought process. He says, in essence, in order for you to achieve in life, you must think it first. Who told you that there was something wrong with the way that you look? Who told you that there was something wrong with the creation that God did? Who told you that? Why did you start believing what somebody else said about God's creation? Now, if God created me and he created me in the image of God, it means I don't physically look like God, but my spirit is from his spirit. So when I commune with him, when I'm in spirit, come into union with him, everything that he says about me, I can have. When he says about me, he says, you have dominion and authority over your checkbook, over your relationship, over cancer, over your job, over your career, over everything. All he wants you to do is to imagine it. See, you gotta see it before you get it. The problem is we can't see it because we are ashamed. But if you surrender to shame, you can take some stuff off in your life. I wish you were bold enough to tell the devil this morning, I'm ashamed of that, but I gotta shake it off. I've won this thing long enough. That's enough of that. I've been through something. Yeah, you know my business. I know my business, but that can't stop me anymore. See, you gotta move to a point where you begin to see you and see the God in you. You gotta see the God in you. When you see the God in you, then you understand what they said. That's not me. No, 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 no. I was there. I did it. But that's not me. I am created in the image of God. And so when you do something, you'll always say, well, I need to own that one. So here you are, crazy. You're going owning something that is not even yours. How do I know that? Because the battle is not yours, it's the Lord. And because whatever you do, if I'm in Christ and Christ is in me, then the blood of the Lamb has covered me. So instead of me owning something, I'm not in denial. I'm just saying I'm going to put it under the blood of the Lamb. You don't hear me. You got to begin to stick your shame under the blood of the Lamb. Yeah, it happened, but I'm not ashamed of that anymore. It's covered under the blood of the Lamb. Adam and Eve was in the garden, and everything was fine until sin came about. When sin came about, then they were ashamed. So what Satan does is he comes inside of his mind and say, what you did, it's a sin, and you somehow need to be ashamed of what you did. See, on occasions, I really do study the Word of God on occasion. Nowhere do I see God says, be ashamed. What God says is, repent. You get me now. So don't waste your time being ashamed. Don't waste your time trying to sum up what they think about you. Because the truth of the matter is, where God is taking you, they don't really matter. They can stop you, and the truth is, they can't even help you get there. So he says, if my people that are called by my name, that's you. See, when you give your life to Christ, there's a name change. It's from John, from all those names. You're not just a Christian. It means that you are property of Christ. That's what it means to be a Christian. So when you say, Lord, have your way, you belong to him? And he says, okay. So he takes you through a storm. And in the midst of going through the storm, you forget that he can walk on water. See, you're feeling powerless in the situation. And he says, it's a setup for a blessing. Now, notice when you begin to go through something, God removes everybody from you. Notice when you begin to go through something, life gets really quiet. And you really can hear the voice of the Lord when you begin to go through something. And you're wondering, God, where are you? And he's saying, we already covered this material before. Now it's test time, baby. I'm going to sit in heaven, but I'm going to put my feet on the earth. And I'm going to watch my child pass it. About you. He knows that you're coming out of it. He'll never put you in something that you can't come out through the grace of God. Whatever it is that you're dealing with this morning, you ought to give him some praise because you already have it out there. You ought to give him some praise this morning because he's already made a way. You ought to give him some praise this morning because he's already fixed that thing. You ought to give him some praise this morning because he's already took care of your haters and your critics. Shame is already gone. I done shook that thing off, baby. You gotta shake some stuff off. You gotta shake it 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 off. 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 Depression. Shake it off. You gotta shake it off. Come on and stand with me this morning. Shake it off. You gotta shake it off. Come on, just raise your hands up and just begin to shake your hands. I don't know what it is, but you just gotta shake it off. You, it may look crazy, but you gotta shake it off right now. I don't know what you're shaking. God knows. God, I don't want that shame anymore. I'm gonna shake it off in the name of Jesus. I'm gonna shake it off in the name of Jesus. Father God, we pray to you right now. We touch and agree in the spirit as we stand before you, stand boldly in your house, stand in your presence. God, we're gonna shake it off. Whatever it is, Lord, that is holding us, we shake it off in the name of Jesus. Whatever it is, Lord, that is holding on, we simply shake it off. We shake it off right now. God, pull that thing out. Inside of me. Right now, God, we just want more of you. Just tell him, I want more of you. I want more of you. I want more of you. I want more of you, God. God, if you give us more of you, then we'll have prosperity. We'll have our help. We will have our thoughts right now. We want more of you. And God will be careful to give you the praise. And you will see that God.